It was quiet for all these years. After Samuel and I lost our daughter, we prayed to see our girl again. The contact started small. But then she wanted permission to move into the doll. We soon realized it wasn't our daughter. So we locked it away. We thought helping the girls could be our penance.
This is our new orphanage.
Wow, this is big as a castle.
But we ended up giving it just what it wanted.
You need help?
I can manage. Sister, you always say that even though we can't see God, we can feel his presence. In this house, I feel different kinds of presence. And the evil one is coming after me. Because I'm the weakest.
Will you help me?
What do you need?
You know how some people talk about superhero films and they say, ah, seen one superhero film, you've seen them all. They kind of say that about certain subgenres out there. I think superhero films get it the most right now. Seen one, seen them all. That's the same goddamn way I feel about these horror films. You didn't seen one, you didn't seen it all now. This shit, I can't believe it. Now, granted, it's dropped tremendously from that 100% it was sitting so high and mighty at. But I got to tell you, we got to do something about the premise and plot synopsis of horror films. It's the same shit that you done seen in some piece of shit film. Only difference is here, you finally got a character to say, let's burn this fucking doll, you know? Let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So David F. Sandberg is taking over Annabelle here. And if I'm not mistaken, who did the first one? Was that James Wan? It was John Leonetti. Yeah, I think that's who did the first one here. So I know James Wan produced these films, and yes, it's part of that Conjuring universe. Oh my God! Which, by the way, I didn't stay for any of the stingers because I did hear there were some, and someone told me, oh man, you missed the stingers that they had in this film. There were some at the like a mid-credit stinger and an ender stinger, and I was like, what was the mid-credit one? It was just Annabelle just staring. I was like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. Uh-oh. Let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So we got a family here, played by Miranda Otto and Anthony LaPaglia. I think I'm pronouncing this guy's name right. And he's Australian, of course. They all are these days. He plays Samuel Mullins, and his wife, Miranda, she plays Esther Mullins. And they're a lovely family living in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, as I like to say, because it's literally some big house. I'll give it that. Some big house in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, there's literally, like, I remember there's a scene at the end where the girl was running to the well. And the distance from that house to that well, I was like, holy shit. So they're owning not only land, but they got acres of land. They don't know what the town is. But he makes dolls for a living. She's a stay-at-home mother, I guess. I don't know. And they got a little girl. I don't know who this little girl is. But this girl, I'm not going to lie, off the bat was fucking creepy as fuck to me. I was just like, leaving notes for her daddy. Play with me, daddy. Find me. I was like, what the fuck? She's like the Marty Scroley of little children or something like that. I want to play. I thought she was already fucking possessed, to be honest. I was just like, I wouldn't hug that little girl if I was you. I mean, not to mention, we open up with this, I will say, like, on the nose beat here of just the father creating dolls. It's just like, oh my God, we get it. I really don't want to see the origin of a fucking doll. I really don't. We get this origin here, and apparently we see him build the Annabelle doll. You know, and at first I was thinking that doll's going to be like, maybe there's like a fire that's going to happen. This doll's going to look like shit. Like it's going to be all like tarred up and painted or something like that. No, that doll was already creepy the day it got made. And I like that this Samuel, he had the audacity to put 1 out of 100 on here. And I was just like, sure. That house alone was just like on prime real estate to be, I gotta say, possessed by something. Long before that doll came into play, that house just had every bit of just saying, it was just missing a neon sign saying, hey, come possess us. Two old white people here just lost our daughter and we're moping. Please, possess us. We're looking for some excitement or whatever. It's like that joke Chris Rock made, whatever. Sometimes he brings a local crackhead on the date just to spice things up, whatever, to tell some of his cracky tales. That's the same thing with this house and a demon. It's like to bring a demon in the house just to spice things up and tell us some of his old demon tales. So, after church, conveniently, church always plays a big part in these films. Where's your God at now? And in the stupidest fucking way possible, you see it in the trailer. I laughed my ass off. I thought that death sequence was fun. But Samuel here is trying to change the tire, and he yanks the tire off of one of the screws after they'd already seen clear cut this car. Just speed, this car was speeding, even from a distance you could see they were speeding, pulling up dust and stuff. You would think as the mother would say, don't get too close, honey, this car is speeding up. But no, Samuel yanks this tire out and this nail flies out and she's, I'll get it, daddy, and wham, right there. And I was just like, that's gotta be the shittiest fucking death sequence I think I've ever seen in a movie. Like, I've seen some bad death sequences. Tell y'all good, but I'm just saying, I've seen some really bad death sequences, but this one has to, like, take the cake right about now in the top five stupidest deaths ever. Like, I don't want to, like, say anything, but I think this girl might have been fucking retarded. I'm just going to put that on the rim right there. She might have been just a little retarded. I'm going to stick with that right there. So she dies, and we fast forward 12 years later. To where we get a crop of new girls up in here. About six girls to be exact. A little orphanage moving in. And they're moving into this new house here. Now, let's rewind a little bit further into the story here. Let's stop right there. So they move into this new house with their sister, Sister Charlotte here, played by Stephanie Sigmund. You might have seen her in, she was an inspector. She was in the Day of the Dead sequence. She was in Narcos. I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty much all I know her from. And she, in Narcos, she plays the chick that, Pablo Escobar is, like, sleeping with on the side and shit. And she is fine. She didn't even find this movie, too. Like, you can't tell, because she got that nun outfit on. But, towards the end, when she's in that murder me white gown that the little white kids always wear in these horror films, and she's got her hair done, he's like, hey. You know, we got a Lulu Wilson in here who I just find to be too good for these movies. This girl, 11 years old, she is fucking incredible, I say. Like, I don't know what kids' property out there is something, like, for a superhero, whatever it may be, like, she kind of looks like, oh, shit, better keep her away from Z. She kind of looks like Chloe Grace Moretz in this photo I'm looking at right here. But she is just amazing. She was in Ouija Origins of Evil, if I'm not mistaken, which is probably my favorite horror movie of this decade. Because it's really fucking good. And I would say most of it is because of this girl right here. She has that creepy-ass sequence, whatever. She's like, you want to know what it feels like to be strangled to death? And it's just like, no, not really, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Oh, okay. She has this girl named Janice in here. Janice plays the girl that's on the crutch. She has, like, apparently they said, like, a polio attacked her leg, whatever, and she's recovering off of it. That's played by Talitha Bateman in here. And this movie really focused on those two girls. The other four girls, they're just fucking backdrops. You get two of them that are a little bit older, maybe about, I don't know how old these girls are playing here, but they could be by, like, 15, 16, maybe. And then you got a token black girl for affirmative action. And then there's another girl in there that hangs out with the black girl. Everybody's got to have their own girl. Look, those girls really were just backdrops. Mainly it's really focused on these two girls. And maybe they just said, Lulu Wilson's such a star. We ain't going to fucking ruin this here. Next thing you know it, there's a room where Samuel tells them, hey, you don't ever go in. This door is always locked anyway. Well, sure enough, one night it happens to unlock. And a good old... Janice, played by Talitha Bateman here, she decides, hey, I'm going to fucking go up in here, you know? I'm going to go. You know why? Because I'm going to go in here because I'm getting notes from the fucking demon. The demon is telling me, find me. Play with me. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Get no creepier than this. And I don't mean creepy in like a horror sense. I mean creepy in just like, what kind of pedophile shit is this going on right now? Was the father fucking his daughter in there? That's what I want to know. Was he fucking her? And the mother came and put a stop to it? That's what I think. That's what I'm going to go with here. She goes in this room after it unlocks. She plays with a little dollhouse. She opens up the dollhouse matches their house. And she finds this hidden room, and there's a key in this little hidden room. She opens the door, and sure enough, this fucking ugly-ass doll, the Annabelle doll we all come to know, is sitting in there with Bible passages around this room and stuff like that. And she's just like, huh, I'm going to close this fucking door now. You know what? Shouldn't open it in the first goddamn place, if you ask me. And sure enough, the door keeps opening up, like three times. This thing lingers on forever. And door opens up once again. Next you know it, she decides to look around the room some more. I'm just like, get the fuck out of the room, please. Jesus. And the doll decides, you can see from a faded away, like hazy shot there or whatever. The doll tends to get up. It's got a bed sheet on it. Next you know, the girl moves the bed sheet, and then there's nothing there. She goes back to bed and then to rinse and repeat the same old shit ever again. Now, let's rewind here now here. So Samuel and his wife Esther here. Esther, we don't see her throughout the whole movie. We see glimpses of her. She stays in her bedroom. She's not allowed to walk, apparently. Apparently, she's been crippled for the past 12 years. And plus, she's wearing a doll mask herself because, well, her face got fucked up encountering Annabelle. So, Samuel, this whole movie, lingers around moping and shit. And they say, oh, well, it went away. They tell the whole origin of the movie, basically, saying, well, our daughter died, we prayed to God, but he wasn't doing shit, so we prayed to whatever the fuck we could, mainly Satan, to just bring our daughter back. Satan says, oh, God didn't answer you? Well, fuck it, here, I'll answer for you then. And he does so by putting little glimpses there, bam. Only knows to be known, it's a demonic spirit that's asking for a passageway to the doll. It wants to be in the doll, so that way it can live forever with them. And, you know, they're like, oh, it sounded like a good idea. I'm like, what fucking part of that sounded like a good idea? It baffles me that people actually like this fucking movie because the premise of this movie is stupid as fuck. I ain't gonna lie. I get it. You miss your kid. But first of all, if I had a kid that died and I saw glimpses of it, I'd get the fuck out that house, first of all. Second of all, if the kid asked me, hey, grant me possession into the doll so I can live forever with you, I'd be like, that sounds like a fucked up way to live, to put you in a piece of plastic for the rest of your life. I don't know. Maybe I should just let your spirit be at rest. Maybe I'm going to hell now because I actually prayed to something and brought your spirit back and let it roam the earth now. Wow. I might be going to hell for that. Yeah. So that's already fucked up. So they grant passageway to the doll. Well, sure enough, this doll, they later re-announced that, oh, shit, that ain't my daughter. That's some evil demonic spirit. And all you hear is a loud scream. Next you know it, Esther here is messing a fucking eye. Or look like somebody just scratched her eye. I guess he crippled her ass, too. So, I love it, too. I absolutely adore this sequence here. This all happened at nighttime because that's the only time demons come out. Demons don't come out in daytime, as these movies tend to tell us. So, in the middle of the night, even though the doll is, it's here now, it's ready to fuck some shit up, the doll don't kill nobody else, don't even finish the job with her. It waits till morning time for enough time for them to get a pastor, and meanwhile, boil this whole room up with Bible passages. Literally, the doll just sat there watching, just a set passage, Bible verses all up in this room, and then the doll allowed itself to be put in this room and be thrown down with holy water, only to sit there for 12 years. I was like, I don't know if these demonic spirits really are just scared of the sun or what it may be, or these fucking vampires or what, but for that doll to sit there after wrecking some shit the night before and taking this woman's eye, that doll just to sit there and allow them to spend all this time putting these Bible verses up on this wall, which that whole room was covered in Bible verses. I'm just like, you got to be shitting me. for that doll to sit there and do nothing, I was just like, alrighty then. This doll has a lot of patience, I see. And I'm assuming that in its mind, it's probably saying, I'll be out this motherfucker. Now, the premise of this is what I'm talking about here is, so Esther and Samuel, they know that this house is fucking possessed by that fucking doll. That they actually allowed themselves to convince themselves that that demon was gone. Even though the little bitch is still passing around notes and stuff talking about, find me, daddy. Fuck me, daddy. I'm sorry. That must have been a typo in my voice there. I didn't mean fuck me. I meant play with me, daddy. You know, it's still passing little notes around and shit. They actually decided to allow foster girls to come stay with them. There's no wonder why their daughter got hit by that fucking car now. These are terrible fucking people, and both of them deserve to die. They're awful people. They're awful human beings. You're actually going to give the demon what it wants. A fucking human child vessel. Wow. Wow. This blew my fucking mind. I was just sitting there going like, I already don't give a fuck about this movie now. I was like, I was so just like, you lit. This is like some 47 meters down shit right here. And it's just like, why would I give a fuck about any of you now at this point? So, let's just move forward. The demon ends up, apparently the demon ended up Annabelle found out that the nun is getting her own spinoff film. And it said, hey, nun, come up over here. Come on, girl. Let's get up in here real quick. So the nun decided in the middle of the day when they want to get little Talitha here, after they then dropped her off the damn stairway too, which should have killed her ass, which I'm like, why you just didn't possess her there? I digress. Maybe the nun wanted, the demon wanted to fuck with her, I guess. Talitha ends up getting her wheelchair pushed. She turns around, and it's just a nun, but an empty shadow for a face, whatever, and it just shoves her ass in the barn while Talitha is screaming oh so loudly, and the other girls are outside playing. Nobody hears her, and doors start looking, shaking, the barn starts shaking, and this little demon girl, Annabelle, I guess, she comes out of the forefront, and she just throws up black vomit in this girl's mouth, and next thing you know, the sister, Charlotte, she opens the barn door, and she turns to Talitha, or not Talitha, Janice, you okay? Janice turns around, looked at look of evil in her eyes. She's like, I'm fine, sister. I locked myself in. And it's just like, if you can't tell that bitch is possessed right there, then you deserve to die. Sure enough, nobody dies in this film except for, obviously, the husband and wife, clearly here. All right, let's apply synopsis. I'm kind of tired of talking about this film. I'm hungry now. Let's talk about what I liked about the film. My God. Lulu Wilson. All the credit to the world. You keep this up, girl. That girl's going to be a future star. 11 years old. She is awesome. I love everything about her in this and Ouija. I love her in this film. She is awesome. She's that girl, instead of the one that's getting possessed this time, she's the one saying, you know, when she wakes up and finds her friend Janice in the room, she's like, we're not supposed to be in here. And she picks up this little toy gun and shoots a ball out. And has a string, you can reel it back. She shoots that shit at Annabelle's head or whatever. Annabelle's head just turns around. And that's like the most movement you can get out of Annabelle. People is probably happy as fuck. It's like, oh my God, it moved. Thank God. Whew. And she finally says, I'm getting out of this room. And I was like, thank you, Lord and Jesus. Somebody fucking said it. But no, Janice, she still got to go looking around and shit. She's got to flip through. And you know, it's funny too, but it's like, why would Janice be the one to find all these nuances here or something like that? Janice is the one that's gonna get fucking possessed later and become Annabelle. So, and it's predictable as fuck. You can see where it's going. So it's like, what services this does for Janice figuring all this out here? It would have been better if Lulu would have figured all this out here, because there's something in the diary that's just saying, now I am back home and shit like that. You gotta slip through pages or whatever. And it's like, then the door closes on her, and then what's her name? This is the scene right before the bar sequence. The little girl you see this in the trailer, she's like, can you help me with something? And Janice is like, what do you want? Girl turns around, yo soul, bitch! And she grabs her leg and scratches up. Janice ends up getting out of the room, whatever. She's screaming and hollering, but nobody in this house can hear, even though her friend, literally just went in the room next door or whatever, and she doesn't hear, the sister Charlotte doesn't hear, the other girls don't hear, down, so she gets in this chair, and she's trying to wait, she's trying to wheel it back down, but, you know, she's like, why isn't it working? It's like, because, bitch, the dude told you beforehand, you gotta fasten the seatbelt. They made a big-ass deal about this seatbelt. It's like, that's the only way it's gonna work. She uses it. The demon hot wires this shit to, for it to come back up, and the demon's just standing there smiling and shit, and it's just like, bitch, get out the fucking chair. It's only a few steps down. I know you can't walk and all, but Jesus fucking. You know, I hear some people saying like, oh my, because I heard people in the theater, they were screaming, oh man, do this, do that, and stuff. And I heard some, I read some critics, you know, they're saying, you know, if you had a bunch of friends with you, whatever, have some drinks, whatever, it's a fun thing because you're constantly yelling at the theater for the do this, do that. Yeah, I don't find that fun. I find that fucking annoying as hell, too. And I did that constantly throughout this whole film. It's just like, maybe some people have fun with it, I guess. I don't have fun with that. I just sitting there going like, just unbuckle your fucking seatbelt for the love of God, please. So the demon says, well, you ain't gonna buckle your seatbelt. I will, bitch. Picks her up. A shoe just falls down. I don't know whose shoe that was because it couldn't have been this girl because she's in her pajamas. So I guess it was just a random shoe that was stuck to the ceiling or something like that. And then all of a sudden you get a body that drops. And I was like, well, damn, did they just kill her? No, she's perfectly fine. No bruises on her. No nothing. She's just in a wheelchair now. She just can't walk now, no more. Her walking days are done. And I'm thinking in my head, fuck, why you didn't possess her then? Speed this shit up because this is like an hour into the film, people. And I'm like, holy shit. For these people out here to talk about the pacing here is good. Oh my God, no. It's that typical pacing shit. But I'm not talking about negative. Let's talk about good. Lulu Wilson is great. She finally decides, let's take this fucking doll and just drop her ass in a well. That's awesome. I'm all for that, girl. You should have threw a thing of gasoline down there and lit that fucker on fire, too, while you're at it. That was your only flaw. But I get it. You were in a rush, in a hurry. I get it. Drop the little bitch down there. Let's go. Not to mention, that didn't help anyway. The doll fucking... See... They always try to throw these little nuances in here only when it's like they finally have a character do something smart. Because the whole time, if this would have been, oh, you have to kill the doll by dropping it in a well, you would have never seen this doll again. But since the fact that a character did something smart in a horror film, they have to do something where it's just like, well, you can't get rid of it that easily, right? The doll shows up back in the house and it's just like, of course. Typical horror trope right there. So... But positives, the Janice is also good. A little bit of role she has to do, she's really good. I would say Sister Charlotte is good. The acting is so far is okay, with the exception of Samuel Mullins. Samuel Mullins is fucking moping around and shit like that. It's annoying as fuck. I get it, you're grieving over your daughter. I get it. You know, someone brought up, well, you know, you like Manchester to see, didn't you, whatever? It's like the same thing, he's grieving. I was like, no. It's a complete fucking different theory here. Manchester by the sea... He didn't want shit to do with his brother's son and that house. He just wanted to go back to his normal stay and do whatever the hell he was doing. He was thrown into that situation. Whereas in this situation, Samuel, they invited these girls over here. What the fuck did he invite them over here for if he's just going to mope around the fucking house all damn day? And then you don't think that, hey, don't go in this room. It's locked up, you know, it's locked. You don't think to tell me, oh, it belonged to my daughter, or, hey, there's a fucking demonic presence in there, let's just leave this alone. It's like, you don't mean to tell it until the last 20 fucking minutes of the film? It's just like, ugh. Oh, my God. Ugh. And plus, I just thought he was just boring and characterless, to be honest, in the film. Miranda Otto, she's barely in the movie, so, eh. But most of the acting is fine. The two older girls that are orphaned... They're just trying to look up what the hottest boy toy is in here. And I gotta say, too, there's a sequence in here where I really think the nun did make a cameo in this fucking film because the two older girls, they're telling, scary stories under the blanket with the flashlight, whatever, and they hear this ringing getting closer, and they're freaked out of their mind. But then you see this, like, faceless figure. It's, like, pure white. And I couldn't tell because it's dark, whatever, if it had, like, that nun hat on. But it grabs one of the girls by the face and shit and try to yank her ass until the lights come on and everybody's screaming and stuff like, oh, this is the one time they did hear people screaming, by the way. Yeah, very fucking convenient. So I don't know if that was supposed to be Annabelle, what possesses her, or the nun herself. Who fucking knows with this Conjuring universe going on here? Now, let's get into the negatives then, because that's... I guess someone tell me, you got to admire the lighting and the cinematography. This movie wouldn't be that good without it. And I just looked at them and was just like, isn't that fucking common that a movie's supposed to have lighting and cinematography? I'm not going to give it credit for that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, if it was like this director's first film, one of his films, David F. Sandberg's Lights Out, where it actually did creativity with the lights, then yeah, I'd give it a little credit. But here, it's like, no, it's just like, oh, it's a dark room, but there's a little bit of light shedding on Annabelle's face. It's like, why the fuck would I give that any credit, okay? Oh, the cinematography, oh, okay, I guess. My theory is just like, get the fuck out the house. That just tells you that right there. So, my negatives with this film is, it's the same shit over and over again. Hey, and you know what, to be fair on most parts, maybe it just ain't for me. You know, I tend to think that these horror films either shit or just not for me. And because people in here, they were having a damn good time, whatever. They were loving the fuck out of this film. And, you know, to be notes of their own, whatever, it's a late night showing, whatever. It's 9 o'clock. It's a public screener or whatever. You know, general audience in there. You know, they already have in their mindset, oh, I'm going to be scared. So, you know, to the Nels Beyond, the fucking door could creak open. And they'd be like, oh my God. So, you know, there is that factor thrown in there as well, too. And plus, it's a free fucking movie for them. So, they're probably going to be freaked out no matter what. I digress. But by me saying it's the same shit, I mean that in the same sense of that, like, it's the same shit where we got a almost damn near a two-hour film. It's an hour and 50 minutes here. And shit really don't kick off until, like, the last 35 fucking minutes here. And you just, like, just fucking possess someone and get this over with there. Like, horror movies nowadays, I realize they should be shorts. They should be 30-minute shorts. You get a premise, you get introduced to characters, this house is haunted, whatever it may be haunted, that demon or whatever is haunting the house or the doll or whatever it may be notices it, oh, new blood is in here, I'm gonna fuck with them. And by fucking with them, I mean just straight off killing their asses right away. Why does the demon always wait till the last goddamn third act of the film to start wreaking real havoc and shit in the film? At first, it's just like minor little setups, like little notes here, or bed sheets are moving or whatever. You yank the bed sheets, nothing there. Or you see a strange light. You hear strange music. That's what you hear in this film. And you're just like, oh my God, get to the fucking point, please. We get it. The doll is possessed. It's gonna kill a motherfucker. We get it. Just get to it, please. I thought the pacing, that first hour was just so fucking boring. I was like, are we gonna possess someone or what? Give me a twist. Is the mother and father in on this? Is the mother half possessed? I mean, just give me something to work with here. But no, it's the same shit. You know, and the thing is too, I don't mind that as much. As long as there's some good character development, setting up these characters. Like Ouija, semi had that same aspect, whatever. But the girl gets possessed pretty damn early in the film. And she's already off the bat fucking with people, telling people, you know what it's like to be strangled and shit like that, you know. Until shit really gets up into the third act. And which of the third act, I really wasn't that big of a fan of in Ouija neither. But in here, it's just like, you know, oh, sister, there's something evil in here. And, you know, they don't believe her. And then finally, you know, someone finally tells Samuel here, and he's like, you're not supposed to go near that doll. And Annabelle ends up killing his ass, too, which is like this large, disfiguring dismember that has like these light up yellow eyes and shit like that. I mean, and the way it kills it, like, I don't know why people keep going to these rooms with crosses and shit. These crosses do not a goddamn thing. Jesus ain't here to help nobody. That is so much clearer in these films, whatever, you know. He's screaming and hollering as he's breaking his finger bones. And literally, Lulu Wilson character is right outside the door. She don't come barging in. Does this demon has the power of muting sound out from other rooms? Because my God, hey, I could use you, demon, for a sound room real quick. I really could. That could really be helpful. I heard some people saying that this is giving them nightmares and stuff. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I guess. If that really what's wrong. I do see the fun in this. But I see that in a lot of horror films, whatever. It's like, it's that thing where it's just like, people always say, have a group of friends with you, whatever. You can have fun with a group of friends at any goddamn thing. If you watch a donkey taking a shit with a group of friends and added some beer into there somewhere. I bet that'd be fun too, in some aspects, because you'd probably be making fun of the donkey and be like, man, look at that donkey. It's just shitting like crazy. Look at the ass on that donkey too. If that donkey was to slap you with its ass, it'd probably kill you. And people would be like, oh my God, P1, you fucking crazy. That's funny. Where you get some laughs out of it. As you can see, we're having a good time talking shit about the donkey. That's kind of a bullshit ass excuse these days, where you say, if you have a group of friends with you, you probably have fun. Well, what about if you don't have a group of friends with you, like I didn't? I was bored out of my fucking mind is what happened. And I will say, like I said, there are some little things here and there. Lulu James, Willison especially, when she's about to kill the doll, I was like, oh, thank you. But I will say, in that last second to third act, oh my God, it gets repetitive as fuck. That's another problem with horror films. Lulu Wilson spends most of this third act in a fucking elevator shaft, going up and down on the elevator shaft. And I was just like, somebody get this girl out the fucking house, please. There's a scene where the scarecrow comes to life, and it's got teeth and shit like that, and it's going to kill the older girl here by dropping the light bulbs out and coming to life. But no, it just scares her to the point where she falls off ladder, and then she just gets out of the barn. And I'm just like, oh, okay. I guess that's all that's going to happen here. The mother, Esther, she gets a fucked up death. I guess that doll said, bitch, you're the reason why I ended up in that closet. I'm going to finish your ass off. We don't know what happened to the rest of her body, but half her body was stuck to the wall and shit, tied up to that bitch. Whatever. I don't know when the demon got the time to do all this, but wow, that demon was really creative with her. Put a cross on me, did you? I'll show you. That doll said, I've got to finish the job here. And sure enough, we get more sequences of them going back into that room. I don't know why they keep going back to that room, and you can hear people in the audience, get out of that room. It's just like, I don't need you to state the audience, the obvious, miss. Please, just watch it, and let's hurry up and wrap this thing up. But it kept going. But, you know, Sister, what's her name? Sister Charlotte came and saved the day by, you know, having her stab the doll. Because for some reason, Janice, she's got a knife in her hand. Instead of using her demonic power, she's stabbing people. She stabs a doll instead of Sister Charlotte, and Sister Charlotte sticks a cross around her neck and shoves her ass back in that closet and throws a case over it. And that demon is hollering and is pissed off. I don't want to be back in this closet. Let me the fuck out. Sure enough, that house kind of explodes by all the light bulbs and stuff, and firefighters and police show up, obviously, because they always got to show up at last minute when the movie's about to end, right? Just like every horror movie. And they open the door, and the doll is sitting there, but there's a big-ass hole in the wall, and Janice is no longer there. She's escaped. And just when you think the movie is about to end, no, it keeps going on and on. It just fucking keeps going. Keeps going. And then it shows the sequence of another orphanage. Somehow this girl ran her way to another orphanage, and she's getting adopted by a new family, and she turns around and they say, what's your name, little girl? And she says, my name is Annabelle. How are you doing? It's just like, why does the demon go to a fucking orphanage and needs to be adopted by another family? What I'm getting at here is, what is the demon's fucking goal in life? Is it just to possess this girl and just murder people? You're a fucking demon. You got powers and shit like that. They gotta start setting rules up to this shit and how it works, whatever. Because without it, it's just, it's like a playland that has no curfew of shutting down, whatever. And you're just constantly playing on the merry-go-round. They got slides. They got roller coasters. They got tilt-a-whirls. They got all this stuff. And eventually, you're there for 24 hours, and you're just like, oh, well, I might as well rewrite everything over again for the 17th time. And it's just like, why don't the demon just go and wreak havoc on the world by killing everyone? Why does it need to do this? Well, sure enough, this family that possesses, we fast forward another 12 years later. I don't know what the number is here 12 years later for every goddamn thing, but gotta fast forward 12 years later. 12 years later. 12 years later, we get an older Annabelle. And we fast forward to the first Annabelle film, leading up to the events of what happened in the first one, where we see Annabelle kill her family, and the neighbors across the street, they see it, and they go into the door next to it, and the movie cuts off, and you're just like, oh, you should have ended it 10 minutes ago. You really could have cut out 25 to 30 minutes of this film. And it would have been the same damn film. Same damn film. Phone, if you don't stop fucking ringing, by the way, too. You're getting on my nerves, actually. I think the more I talk about this movie, it's just irritating the fuck out of me. So every time I see that phone light up, I just go like, if you don't stop fucking rotating. Either way, though, I walked out of the movie. I got the fuck out of there as fast as I could. I heard there were some stingers. I really didn't give a fuck. One of them was just Annabelle staring, apparently. It's like, oh, kind of what she does throughout the whole fucking movie, actually. I will say in this film, though, her head does move, so that's a plus. I'll take that. I'll take whatever I can get. But I will say, this film's storytelling is just lazy as fuck, whatever. It's just typical horror trope. It felt like one of those old horror films. Not like back in the 80s, but like mid-2000s, late 90s type deal, whatever. So between late 90s and mid-2000s type deal, it just felt like that. I thought the scares, a lot of jump scares. I know some people saying it's not a lot of jump scares. To me, they all were fucking jump scares, to be honest. I never once was scared or creeped out or anything like that. I was just kind of like looking and was just like, why is this person doing that? I had more questions than I did. I don't have answers here. Mainly some of the characters are just fucking stupid. I mean, without a doubt, they're just fucking stupid. Some of the storytelling is just convenient for the purpose of the film itself. It's just like, oh, it's convenient that you would tell this part of the creation of Annabelle, like, right now, towards when shit's getting crazy. It's like, you don't think to have that tidbit thrown in there at the beginning, a little bit in the end here. And then the ending here, it's just like, it just kept going and going. And that's another thing with some horror films, too. They just get repetitive as fuck, too. And you're just like, all right, we get it. Move along here. Some of the other girls don't play aspects in here. It's just like, why are everybody screaming in here and nobody can hear them, you know? It's like, I just kind of want to get out of here. Just want this to be done. I'm giving credit to the act. I didn't think anybody in here was terribly god-awful. But really, nobody's really given that much screen time other than the two main girls. The other girls are on screen time for the most part, whatever, but they're not really given much lines here. And some of the black girl, whenever she is given a line, she got one line in the whole film. You was like, I see why they kept you quiet for most of the movie, too. And some of the other girls, they're kind of just annoying little teenager girls or whatever. I know what this guy would like and stuff. They're just talking about dudes and stuff like that. It's like, shut the fuck up, please, okay? But nobody's really, like, terribly awful, but obviously they're not really given much to do as well, so they're kind of just in the middle for me. They're not great, but they're not good neither. They're not terrible, though, so it's just like, eh, they're serviceable. But the other two main leads here, especially Lulu Wilson, I'll say she's just amazing. She's just incredible. So just for her merits alone, I'll give it a high fuck it. And what gives it that fuck it is basically my time was fucking wasted. I did not have this fun that everybody kept talking about. I just felt annoyed and beat to the head with this same old fucking premise. Same old trope of horror. And I was just like, wow, this shit is just going to go on and on. Like, at least with superhero films, you know, or just films in general. You got your good guy, your bad guy. Escalation happens and you get to the final climax here. There should be none of that with horror films, basically. That escalation should be like on a tenth pole to the third degree from beginning to start. And I know people are like, oh, you got to build tension or whatever and stuff. Like, no, because now you're just making it seem like, oh, demons are just dicks. They just want to fuck with you first, you know? So get the fuck out of here with that. So with that said, I'll be fair and throw out my rating, which is the high fuck it. Sounds reasonably fair to me. Horror directors, horror films, come up with a different fucking premise for your goddamn ghost in the next film. Please. I can only pray that the It movie just doesn't go this way. I can only pray.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Janice found this doll.
What doll?
The one in that white dress.
She mustn't go near that doll.
She can walk. Forgive me, sister, for having got sick.